American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, April 26, 2005. That means Monday's already done. We're halfway through the week. Well, almost halfway. Tomorrow's hump day, and it's almost as good as being Friday, right? Well, it's a good marketing ploy, and I may as well try it just to help you get through your week, because this is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you at this very moment in time. You can read all news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, and that's the proper way you spell Sean. That's S-E-A-N, none of the other horrible little ways which people normally spell Sean, which are wrong, sick, weird, and should be destroyed. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say something to the effect of, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe how pompous I am regarding the spelling of my own name." This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio Network, 76.5 Radio. Oh, pardon me, 76 Radio, not 76.5. For some reason, I have this obsession to put a 5 on the end of that. Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com. All of those guys are carrying this broadcast, and you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do anything you like with it. You can burn it to disc. You can make remixes out of it. You can give it to the Jehovah's Witnesses. You can give it to the Scientologists. You can give it to whoever you like, because the show is free. There is no charge, and it's all about circulating the correct information to get people going in the right direction. So, let's get straight into some feedback. Message, dear Sean, or actually this one here, actually really honest to God is, dearest Sean, if the normals were trying to label you as a crazy goon, what do you think they would say or do about your past to make you look like a Nazi to the masses? And that was from Burger No Fries. Well, that's a good question. Normally, when everyone wants to vilify someone, they usually do the same sort of procedure. You know, that they'll try to make them look absolutely insane. And for me, it's not that hard to make me look nuts because, well, to be honest with you, half the time I'm doing entertainment stuff, which is trying to make me look nuts anyway. So if they wanted to do it, they probably just, you know, they do the horrible angle. When you look at, like, just post-9/11, there were people who were standing up and saying, well, I don't know, you know, there's something weird going on here. And those people were totally vilified by the media. And it didn't even make sense how they were vilified. But I imagine if I was going to be vilified by the media, they'd probably go through the same, you know, sort of steps. Usually the number one way to vilify anybody is to throw a child pornography label on them. Like if they go, child porn, yeah, we found child porn on his laptop. Well, what files, you know, and Sean's been an activist against that for quite some time. So I don't know if they tried that one. But what I think they would be more apt to try would probably pull some Charles Manson kind of stuff, saying that he was a cult leader, and they would spin cult, and they would spin all my rants, and they'd take the most violent stuff that was used for entertainment purposes in my rants, and then they'd replay that, make me look like I'm trying to teach kids to hurt people, and all that sort of jazz. Have, you know, take just, it's all how you spin stuff, right? Like, there's enough footage of me doing stuff that if you wanted to make, like, say, oh, even if you want to make Arnold Schwarzenegger look bad, you could take a lot of his film footage and make the guy look like a clown. So if I was going to vilify me, that would probably be the way I'd do it. But I'm not as really as crafty and evil as the people who run spin for the government is, so I'm not really too sure. But at Burger No Fries, to answer your question, that's what I'd think they do. Some more feedback here. Dear Sean, on your last show, you commented briefly on the teen in Houston who was unable to contact 911 in time to save her parents from being shot because she was using a voice over IP system. I've been keeping up with these stories and the lawsuits that are ensuing, and I have to say, in cases, in some cases out there, they are unaware that people who are making a stink of this are complete brainless waste of skin cells. Well, you gotta be careful with terminology like that, but I guess they're kind of dumb. I myself have Vonage, and will tell you from first-hand experience, you cannot sign up for Vonage without having to click yes on at least half a dozen times to the message, are you sure you realize the service does not provide 911 service? This is yet another instance of natural selection. You can enjoy, if you can ignore several windows that tell you you're not able to call 911 on this particular phone, then you deserve to get eaten by wolves or cocaine-crazed hitmen or whatever comes to kill you with the use of the gun or knife that better than you can read. And that was from 2, The Ranting Griffin, which is always good to see that guy. Hey, I'm always into other people who can just, you know, get the truth out there and flying around. Good to hear from you, too. Which is, I mean, that's one thing to say that, you know, they're too stupid to realize that, you know, oh, my gosh, this voiceover IP doesn't do 911. Oh, my God. Well, you know, all cell phones do 911. I believe, actually, they do 911 for free. 911 for free? What is free? Is that like a referee, only a 911? You can get 911 for free on a cell phone, which is one of the ways that they're getting free phone calls, is they take a cell phone, get into the root menu, change the emergency number, which is usually listed as 911, to any phone number you want, you'll be able to connect. However, of course, the cell phone companies know that you're now dialing and you're not getting charged, and they can track that, so it's not a good thing to do, because you yourself can get yourself in really big trouble doing that, so, you know. But I guess Randy Griffin's got a point there. I mean, you know, if you're told, and I didn't know this, but if there's like 12 windows that pop up during the installation progress of VoiceOver IP, it says, you can't do 911, no 911 here, and yet you still try to call 911, yes, that would in fact be stupid. And you would probably be stupid as well. So that's something you want to look at, you know, and make sure that if you're going to be installing VoiceOver IP in like, oh, I don't know, the parents or a friend's house or something like that, you, as, you know, the computer guy who's always made to fix your friend's stuff, you want to make sure that you tell that guy, hey, you know what? There's no 911 on this phonage system. So if you wind up going and trying to phone it on that, you're going to get eaten by wolves and cocaine-crazed hitmen. That's what you need to be aware of. So, you know, I think Randy Griffin has a point. What do you think? You can let me know. Now, into Sort Yourself Out, which is kind of a different kind of Sort Yourself Out today, because I got a lot of weird little questions, so I figured I'd just span it out over 3 different sections. I can do that. It's my show. Dear Sean, how can someone hate a type of music? Well, that's a pretty good question mark. Let's get through this. I really don't understand why some people have this need to unfairly write off hip-hop music as if it was the root of all evil. If you don't like it, then you don't like it, and that's just fine. No one's trying to force you to listen to it, and that's always how I've felt. I have a long-standing belief that all art is what you make of it. You will get out of it exactly what you put in. In my short time, I have grown to like all types of music. For it is nothing, if for nothing else, the fact it was to me. Okay, sorry, I'm reading this literally here. I however just can't seem to get my head around why some people have all this hatred over a simple music genre. It's just music. How people will base such hatred, half-truth, stereotype sounds foolish to me. To judge a whole genre based on the actions of just a few is foolish and foolish to the extreme. You have always been open-minded guy. Maybe you can help explain. And that's from Soul Walker. Okay, well, why do people hate genres of music? Well, there's certain genres of music. I used to really dislike the whole country music thing. But I find that there's usually a certain time and place for all kinds of music. For example, like, if you're listening to country music, even the twangy, the really, you know, that whole stuff, that actually has its use. It's good prior to about 7 o'clock in the morning. If it's first thing in the morning and you're at some greasy spoon diner, sometime that sliding steel guitar stuff actually works out pretty good. You know, it doesn't sound completely like hell. So, you know, country music has its place there. I am pretty good with most kinds of music. I'm not a big fan of punk. I've never been a big fan of punk. I mean, I like Propaganda and NoFX, but I don't like a lot of the really dirty style punk, you know, the stuff that sounds really unfinished, the classical punk stuff. I don't really get into that too much. I don't hate it, but I appreciate it. And generally, the reason why people hate a genre of music is they don't understand it, and that actually makes them afraid of it, and of course, fear breeds hatred. So this is why there's people who have that problem. They hate it, and they go forwards with it. Now, myself, another genre of music I'm not really too keen on, I don't know if anybody's heard this, but in BC here, right close to my house, we have a place called Surrey, which we used to make a lot of Surrey Gold jokes about. But now Surrey, because of immigration and things like that, Surrey has become the largest center for East Indian people in the world outside of India. So we have more Indian people in Surrey than any other place on the planet other than India. And they have a real community there. There's lots of signs. There's whole places in Surrey where there's no English writing. It's all, I don't know what language that is. It's the Indian writing, whatever that's called. And which I think is, you know, some people, there's a lot of racial tension here because, of course, almost all of these people are immigrants, right? So, and to me, I find it kind of funny because, you know, the Canadians, the white, you know, Europeans came and took the lands from the Indians. And now all the Indians are coming over and taking over this section of land from the rest of the white European settlers, which I think is not without irony to me. I think that that has a certain ironic appeal. But there's that whole Bollywood East Indian music thing that's like, you know, and all that kind of jazz. I can't really get into that. There's a nice hip-hop sort of, there's a good beat to it. And I don't really understand the words and the style of music, how they like sing poetry and stuff like that. I'm having a hell of a time getting into that. You know, I really am. But again, I'm also having a hell of a time getting into Chinese music and certain types of Japanese music. I have a hard time getting in there, like some J-pop stuff. Yeah, I can dig. But I mean, it's cultural. It's cultural. And when you have all these different cultures in the world, when you try to get multicultural, there's going to be some problems. So sometimes, you know, cultural differences in music is just simply racism masquerading as cultural differences in music. But, you know, I hope that answers your question. Generally, I believe that people don't like other genres of music. When they hate them, it's based upon fear of the unknown. Hope that helps. Let's get into an opinion. I haven't had to do an opinion in a while. Now, you know this thing where we got that kid? I'll just read this story out real quick here. Everybody knows this story. A lawyer has threatened to sue police officers who handcuffed an allegedly uncontrollable 5-year-old after she acted up in a Florida kindergarten. Okay, so this kid freaks out in Florida and the cops showed up and cuffed her. The officers were called to the school by a teacher's assistant and principal failed to calm down the little girl. The incident was caught on video camera, which was rolling in the classroom as part of a self-improvement exercise at St. Petersburg School. A lawyer for the school's mother said the episode was incomprehensible. The video, made public by the lawyer this week, shows the unfolding of the violent tantrum, which started when the little girl refers to take part in math lessons. She ripped some papers off the bulletin board and lashed out at staff, trying to calm her down. After calling her mother and learning she would not be able to pick up the child for at least one more hour, the teachers resorted to calling the police. Three officers rushed to the scene and handcuffed the girl by that time, apparently calm, after pinning her arms behind her back. The footage shows her in distress after being handcuffed. They finally drove her to her mother in the back of a police cruiser. Now, when the police show up, and this is a classical example of police being made the bad guys, I think, really. You know, they show up on a scene. They've been called. They have to go. There's a child there. The child is out of control. The child's throwing a tantrum, so they throw handcuffs on the back of the child. They didn't beat the child. They didn't taser the child. They restrained the child with handcuffs. Dun, 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 dun. Anybody else ever see that old Andy Griffith episode where, you know, they lock the kid up inside the cage just to scare him so he doesn't, you know, continue along the dark side path that he's on? And there used to be a program called Scared Straight where they take these kids who think they want to be hoodlums and they'd drag them off to jail and help them spend time with real convicts. And usually the convicts would scare the living crap out of these kids. And they were like Scared Straight. That was the whole name of the program. Now, granted, this is a little bit different. This is a 5-year-old who was throwing a complete spaz attack in class and ripping up the classroom. What would you have had the parents, or the teachers for that matter, do? What should they have done? Should they just let the little girl go and then show the rest of the class that, you know, there's absolutely no authoritarian structure whatsoever here, and it doesn't really matter what you do, you're not going to get in trouble for it? Or are you going to show the rest of the class, because everyone's like, oh, the poor little girl? It seemed to me that the little girl was being a complete little bitch, and I don't know about how you were raised, but when I was raised, if I had that kind of performance, okay, at any point, I would have had the living crap kicked out of me by my parents. But, you know, that's just, you know, maybe that's not the way you're supposed to raise kids these days. Maybe you're not supposed to, you know, say, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. No one's allowed to touch their kids anymore, right? Even though, you know, people have been giving their kids spanking since the dawn of time. So, personally, I think that we must be very aware of the certain spin and people trying to play us. This is a story of the media trying to play you. They're trying to go, isn't this terrible? They did this to a little girl. Well, what was the little girl doing? The fact she's a little girl is almost irrelevant. It really doesn't matter who it is. You're not allowed to do stuff like that, and you have to be able to control it. And if you can't control them, what are the teachers supposed to do? Give her a haul off? Give her a smack? No, you can't do that. They can't even yell at the kid anymore, because remember that teacher who got all mad during the standing up of the national anthem there and he was all freaking out, pulling out chairs and all that kind of jazz. You're not allowed to do that anymore either. You'll lose your job. So what do? Of course they got to call the cops because they got no authority to enforce anything in their classrooms. Not that I agree that that's a really fantastic thing to do, but, I mean, what are your other options? It's like the tasers. People are like, oh, the cops are tasering anybody. Okay, you know, yeah, the cops are getting kind of trigger-happy with a taser, but what's option B? The nightstick? Pull out the gun? Hammer the guy in the face? Like, what do you do? They got to have something to enforce the law because that's their job. Generally, if the little girl's like, screw you, cop, whatever, pig, you know, well, that's not going to work. That's no good for anything. You got to do something. They didn't sick the dog squad on the little girl. They didn't put a tire to a chair and, you know, tase her until she wet her pants. They just put handcuffs on her and then took her back to her mom. Big deal, in the back of a police cruiser. I'd be so lucky to get off that well. So, you know, don't let yourself get played by the news media. You're smarter than that, okay? Let's get into some news. And this is kind of an interesting story about being anti-Israeli in the USA. Now, this is kind of an interesting story, and I can see Sim's ears perking up already. A witch hunt against a Columbia professor and New York Times' disgraceful support of it represents the gravest threat to academic freedom in decades. There's an opening line. Opinion pieces attacking tenure radicals and questioning professors' patriotism as their centerpiece. All of these attacks are spurred by the propaganda film made by an advocacy group in which an anonymous accusations are made that the professor is not given an opportunity to respond to allegations. This is not 1953. The Congress member is not Senator Joseph McCarthy, and the professor being accused is not being accused of being a communist. No, it's 2005. The Congress rep is Anthony Weiner, and the professor being accused is accused of being anti-Israel. Now, Israel's an interesting nation. You know, we'll get into this in a bit. In a lesson for the academics and American society as a whole, McCarthyism is unacceptable when the criticism of Israel is involved. The target professor is Joseph Mossad, which I think is really funny that his last name is Mossad, in the Middle East Languages and Cultural Department at Columbia University. Mossad is the author of Colonial Effects, The Making of National Identity in Jordan, Columbia University Press, 2001, and a forthcoming book treating the sexual depictions of Arabs in colonial literature, Desiring Arabs. Wow, weird books. He is well-published. His first book received rave reviews in journals such as Choice and American Historical Review. His career would have been no more controversial than that of any academic historian working on Argentina or Uganda had he not been a Palestinian-American teaching about Israel and Palestine in New York City. Nor had he been critical of Argentinian or Ugandan policies, would any eyebrows been raised in the United States. Now, this is true. There is a lot of weird stuff going on with Israel. And the fact that people are not allowed to talk about the Jews, the fact that people are not allowed to talk about Israel in any way, shape, or form, Israel's policy, any of that kind of stuff. If you decry Israel, then you're labeled anti-Semitic. You know, you're not even allowed to ask certain questions anymore. You're not allowed to question things. It's all, you know, Israel, Israel, Israel. Now, you got to understand is that Israel does have a lot of power in the United States because of their faith. You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe the dominant religion inside of Israel would be Judaism. You know, I think they're pretty much, that's where the Jews are. You know, and there's a lot of Jews with a lot of power manipulation within the United States. I mean, these people are, it's a brilliant culture. The Jewish culture is an amazing culture. And so because of that, they have very strong family unity, and they're pretty good at business, a lot of these folks, you know. When I was down there was that camera store. Let me tell you, that camera store in New York I was at, they had, like, these robots. They were taking stuff to the front tills for you. Man, those people have business sorted out. I think the world could learn a lot from Israel. I definitely think the world could learn a lot from Israel's army. I mean, their army is switched on. You can't say they're not. I mean, their number one concern is preserving people, not machines. I think that's brilliant. I've never been to Israel. I have friends of mine have been to Israel. They say it's a gorgeous country. They say the people are nice. So this is not about being Jewish. This is about Israeli political policy. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the white supremacists, they get all up in arms about the Jews are trying to take over the world. Well, no, the Jews are not trying to take over the world. The Jews are trying to live in peace and have their, you know, thing with God going on here. There's some freaky people called Zionists who think that the Jews are, like, you know, God's chosen people who want to, you know, master the universe and stuff like that. That's kind of, you know, like the Jewish Nazis called Zionists. And that's not what Jews are. Jews are really nice people with cool hats. So I generally find that if you you should be able to talk about anything, though. I mean, you should be able to talk about the beliefs of white supremacists. You should be able to talk about the beliefs of psychopaths. You should be allowed to talk about the beliefs of Scientologists. You should be allowed to talk about the beliefs of Christians, the beliefs of Judaism, and the beliefs of the Hindi culture or whatever. And if you think that someone's political policies is, well, bullshit, and people are just hurting other people for the sake of settlement, then you have to be able to talk about that out loud and broadcast it out to your people and voice your opinion. And just being labeled, you're anti-Semitic. You know what? The Second World War was a long time ago. And just because you happen to say you don't agree with Israeli policy doesn't mean you want to put people in camps. All right, so that's something that we have to be aware of, and don't let yourself be manipulated. Being you're anti-Semitic. No, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm anti-idiot, and I'm anti-violence, and I'm definitely anti-war and anti-repression. So if by saying all of that you claim that I'm anti-Semitic, then the guy who called you anti-Semitic, he's really anti-Semitic, because just because you're against war and all this stuff, you're anti-Semitic. Well, are you saying Semitics are into war and death and all that? No, I don't think so. If you were to go into the street in Israel and ask, you know, the mom over there who's just trying to get to the pizzeria without having everything blow up, I'm pretty sure she'd tell you that she's just interested in peace. That's all she wants. Now, you ready for this one? This is the story of the day. You're going to love this. There's nothing better than crooked cops. The only thing better than crooked cops is crooked cocks. Crooked cocks. Crooked cops taking payoffs from the Motion Picture Association to crack down on file sharers. Listen to this. Two NYPD veterans are being investigated by Internal Affairs for allegedly accepting payoffs from the motion picture industry to arrest vendors of pirated DVDs, law enforcement sources told The Post. Believe this. One officer, a sergeant on the force since 1992, had been transferred from the Staten Island Task Force to the 122nd Precinct pending the internal investigation. The other cop, a cop for 5 years, still works on the task force. As members of the unit, the officers, aged 36 and 32, would arrest the sellers of illegal DVDs and confiscate their stock. Often, they would act on tips from investigators with the Motion Picture Association of America, many of whom are former cops, sources said. There is nothing impromptu about that practice, but at least on four occasions in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Staten Island, the task force officers arrested the vendors, confiscated illegal movies, and then allegedly received gratuities of several hundred dollars from the MPAA itself or investigators, the source said. The MPAA strongly denied that the payoffs came from the trade organization. We don't give cash to police officers, said Bill Shannon, the MPAA anti-piracy official. We work with law enforcement organizations by providing information and logistical support, and the police make the arrests. No department charges have been filed against NYPD officers, and neither is on modified duty. So they're being investigated for accepting these payoffs. Now, granted, we don't know whether or not these payoffs are being received. They're just simply under investigation. And to be honest with you, yes, I hate the MPAA, so it would be kind of sweet if they got nailed for paying off cops. Whether or not that really shows, I'd like to get some more details there, but that's currently being investigated. And does that sound like something the MPAA would do? Yes. Does that even sound remotely like a stretch for the MPAA? No, it does not. So I think that, yes, it's quite probably likely that they were paying off these cops. I can't say for sure, but let's say if they are not receiving payoffs, I'm very sorry, officers, that you received this problem. I saw a lot of New York cops when I was down there. They seemed like really nice people. So I hope that if you guys are being wrongfully accused, please forget us. If you guys actually are receiving money from the MPAA, your bags of shit and should lose your jobs. Okay, that's just how it is. Sorry. You chose to be cops. That means you enforce the law for the people. You're supposed to be looking after the little people, not receiving bucks for kicking in doors on people just trying to make a living so they can feed their families by selling some wares. Okay? Now, I don't agree with piracy any more than the next guy. But, I mean, to have preferential treatment to treat piracy when these cops could be, you know, arresting crack dealers and things like that, I'd rather see them do that than getting rid of the illegal copies of Ghost in the Shell. You know, I just think that there's probably more threat there than there is, you know, with the, you know, making sure I buy my illegal copy of Lord of the Rings or the rapist down the street, you know. But of course, the cops are going to, if they were going to bust these guys, there would sure be some incentive if the beat cop could be paid a few hundred bucks. And isn't it pathetic that beat cops can be bought off for a few hundred bucks if this is also the case? Because these are supposed to be the bastions of freedom. These are the people supposed to stand up for the little guy. This would be someone unclear of the concept and quite probably just bitter. to be able to, you know, just to say, yeah, whatever. I mean, I got to make a living too, you know. I feel bad for cops because they got to take the garbage out every day and everybody spits on them. They never get a fair shake. Cops never get a fair shake. So really, next time you're out and about, make sure you hug a cop so that they know that they really are the counterculture's friends. Realistically speaking, you know, cops are the counterculture's greatest friend. We as the counterculture should be on a massive campaign to win the hearts and minds of cops. You know, imagine if the cop showed up at a party, you know, because the cop's like, he knows he walks into a party, everyone's like all dancing and everything, and it's all loud, the neighbors complain, right? Imagine if the cops pull up and you're like, oh crap, and you turn off the music and everybody's standing there, you're like, hey, we're really sorry. Did you guys want to have a coffee or something? We're sorry. And the party, you know, just stops and they leave. You know, and everybody says they're sorry. The cop would probably think he's on another planet. It'd be like the Twilight Zone for him. You know, pull over the side of the road. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, with all the steel in your face. Say, you know what, officer, I'm really sorry about this. And you say, why are you apologizing so much? Why are you guys acting all weird like this? And you say, well, you know, you guys have it really rough. We live in a day and age where fascism is everywhere, and we want to let you cops know that you're not the problem. You guys are just doing your job. We're trying to change government policy, and you guys are doing the best you can. So you know what? It's okay, officer. You do what you got to do. We understand that, and we respect you for it. Jesus, what's the cop going to say to that? He can't really beat you down after that, can he? Well, if he does, I mean, he's a super bad cop. You'd be screwed anyway, but, I mean, you see what I mean? It's an open campaign to win the hearts and minds of all the little piggies running around with the crew cuts. Because, after all, cops are people, too. And they do need a little bit of love and understanding. And I think, honestly, that if the counterculture were to show them that, I'm not saying we should get all the freaky leather chicks to give the cops blowjobs. Unless they want to, of course. There's that certain uniform appeal there, and I'm sure a few chicks have thought about it. But, you know, generally, and you know, really, there's no better way to win hearts and minds now that we mentioned it. But I would say that on the whole, as a group, the counterculture should be a lot nicer to cops. That's just sort of my own personal standards. Now, here is some scary rules that are coming through. Everybody right now is freaked out about this Canadian scandal that's going on where the Liberal government, which is, like, psychotically corrupt. I mean, they're totally down with big business. It's just that the Canadian press has a better chance of getting a hold of it than the American press does, because we don't have enough money to buy off all our papers, so we still get some news up here. But it seems that while everyone's freaking out about the standards, you know, the scandal, the sponsorship scandal, billions of dollars were stolen by corporations, advertising corporations, that. Never mind that. The real news that we're skipping is that we're forgetting that the federal politicians and bureaucrats are even now quietly writing laws that will have far more impact on our lives than any of the Gormley Report's final bill. One of these bills is C-27. The Food Inspection Act has received almost no attention in the media, yet it's proposed to radically change the way in which foodstuffs are regulated in the country. The bill would give bureaucrats a Canadian Food Inspection Agency power to bypass domestic health regulations and permit import of food approved in other countries. Now, this is the same bill that was talking about bringing in the Codex to make vitamins all go sideways and stuff like that. The idea, apparently, to boost cross-border trade to the United States by bringing Canadian food standard regulations in line, which means down, with Washington's. But as National Farmers Union Executive Secretary Tom Pugh told Commons Committee earlier this month, Canadian regulations currently administered by Federal Health Department are far stricter in many areas than those in the U.S. That's why if you're a milk drinker, which you shouldn't be, but if you are, and you drink American milk, and you cross the border and you drink Canadian milk, even by the same company, same packaging, same everything, it tastes totally different. Another case in point. Go to the border, buy a can of Dr. Pepper. Come across the border, buy another can of Dr. Pepper. They're different products. Separated by like 2 miles. Why is that? Why are there totally different products? This is because the Canadian health standards are stricter than the American health standards. So the idea here should be to bring up the American health standards so that you guys are all in line with us versus us being in line with you, so we don't have, you know, growth hormone going through all of our cows. Now, granted, when I drive down the street and the high schools are getting out, I don't know about you, but 16-year-old girls today do not look like 16-year-old girls when I was 16. Now, some people could say, Sean, that's perverted. Well, dude, come on now. How, you know, it's pretty blatant. These kids are walking around looking like Britney Spears, and they got, like, you know, all the makeup on. They're wearing half halter top, you know, and these little girls are now sporting these huge cannons. And you got to think to yourself, dude, what is going on? How come these chicks got massive tits at the age of 15? There's something going on here. And you can't say that you haven't really thought about that because it's, well, you see it. All you got to do is to take a swing by the old high school when they break, and you don't have to really look for it. I mean, kids are dressing pretty racy these days anyway. I'm really happy, incidentally. I am so happy that I am not a dad, because if I was a father, if I had a son, it would be like this. If I had a son, he would think I was a jackboot-wearing Nazi until the age of about 13, and then dad's the shit. If I had a daughter, dad would be the shit until she was about 13, and then, of course, I would turn into a jackboot-wearing Nazi. Why? Because I'm a guy. And that's the way guys are. Personally, I think that my wife and my daughter would be conspiring against me to make sure she would have some freedom. But, you know, all I'd have to do is kill a couple hostages and we could get past that. But getting back to the food standards thing, I think generally that we need to be paying more attention about what's going on in the media. This is, you got to be aware of distraction. It's all over the media. And you have to, no one is talking about Bill C-27, so we got to be careful, man. Organic food is the way to go, now more than ever. You're hearing about it on a lot of alternative media. A lot of people talking about disease. A lot of people talking about bird flu. You know how bird flu is transmitted? Through birds. How do you get it? It's not through the airborne. You have to eat the birds. No eating birds, no bird flu. Ta-da! The flu virus is not a human virus. It's an avian virus, okay? So if you don't eat chicken, you don't get the bird flu. Thanks for coming out. That's how it works. If you're not necking with, you know, chickens and eating chickens, then you're not going to get the bird flu or turkeys or fowl or duck or whatever the hell else you eat. Now, if you eat wild game, that's probably better still. But generally, I'm thinking, right, that's it then. I'm going organic. It's more expensive, but if you can't afford to go organic, then don't eat the meat. Dude, your metabolism's faster. You drop some weight. Obesity's way out of control in North America. I'm a tubby bastard myself over here. I can stand to eat some more tofu. Sure, there's some people who report that tofu makes your brain shrink, but those people's brains have shrunk. And you know what? I got a big head over here, okay? My brain shrinks a few inches along with my waistline. I think I'm probably going to be okay with that. And further to that, if eating all this vegetarian stuff makes you stupid, why are there so many vegetarians who are hyper-intelligent activists who can do nothing but read all day? Answer me that. Just a thought. Just a thought. So, more and more, guys, I'm really thinking, I'm not saying go vegan, I'm not saying go vegetarian, but I'm definitely going to start advising that people go organic. Granted, I'm doing my fast right now, so I'm on a big pro-health thing. You know, that always affects you. My own personal bias, you bet. You got to be healthy. But, dude, go organic. There's something wrong with the food, and there's something wrong with the water. Make sure you filter your water and eat clean food. This is food. This is what your body's made of. You are what you eat. And if you fill yourself up with toxins, chemicals, and diseases that, you know, no one cares about, well, it doesn't look bad. Who cares if there's diseases in the meat? Does it look bad? No, sell it. We'll dye it and we'll sell it. Red dye number 7, dye the meat red. They'll cook it. They'll eat it. Sell it. Feed it to the masses. If they die, oh, well, decrease the surplus population. And if you don't think that's the case, you need to take a swing by InfoWars and Prison Planet and check out what some of the scarier press is saying some of the grand plans are for, you know, the great North American continent over here. Now, let's talk about RHIP. Rank has its privileges. This is the kind of shit that makes me go absolutely psycho. The Army drew fire Saturday for its reported findings in an internal investigation of the Abu Ghraib prison abuses. A probe that senior Pentagon officials told CNN cleared four TARP Army officers in Iraq of any wrongdoing. Well, look at that. Officers didn't do anything wrong. This just proves the Army cannot investigate itself. Reed Brody, legal counsel for the Human Rights Watch, told CNN, if the U.S. is going to wipe away the stain of Abu Ghraib, there has to be an independent investigation that looks at responsibility for those people who tolerated torture, no matter where they are in the chain of command. The findings of the investigation have not yet been released, so we'll have to wait and see what's going on here. The Washington Post, citing government officials familiar with the findings, reported Saturday that the only officer who will face discipline is Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, which I'm sure the independent media and left-wing press is going to be like, oh, it's because she's a woman. She was commander of the 800th Military Police Brigade, in which the soldiers who have so far been convicted in connection with the abuses of the prison. This newspaper said Karpinski will receive an administrative reprimand for dereliction of duty, one that could end her military career. But it's not going to end her military career. I really doubt it would. It's saying it could. Well, yeah, well, a meteorite could smack my house. It's not going to, though. It continues to seem that she's been singled out or targeted for responsibility of Abu Ghraib. Karpinski's military criminal defense attorney, Neil Puckett, told CNN. She feels like she feels like it's a shared responsibility. She accepts her part of the responsibility, but it's a shared responsibility throughout the chain of command, not just her. Well, you know, females in the officers' club of the military are not really that well liked. And I don't care how many women they get to stand up and say, no, that's not true. Women are greatly accepted in the Army. No, they're not. Okay, don't feed me that shit. Chicks are not accepted in the Army. They are not. Now, personally, I can put down with a thud, and I will reiterate my stance again, that I do not believe that women should be in the trenches. I do not think that there is equality for soldiers in the trenches, simply because you could take the most badass woman on the planet and a standard special forces soldier, put them in a room together, and 9 times out of 10 the special forces male soldier will win, simply because the women excel men in every format except for packing on meat, muscle, and aggression. Those are the only two areas where men are superior to women. Every other way, life expectancy, hand-eye coordination, generally IQ scores, pain tolerance. Oh, crap. It goes on. I think women should be snipers. I think women should be in the cockpit, fighter pilots, doctors, lawyers, all that stuff. I'm talking purely by math, strictly by the difference engine rules here. Women should not be in the trenches with sharp sticks waiting to kill other men. Just me. It's a kind of a, I think women are kind of sacred too. I don't know why you'd want your women to be in a frontline trench. I think nobody should be in a frontline trench, but I should definitely think that I'd like to keep the women out of the frontline trench. You know, that whole, you know, women being, maybe I'm old fashioned, you know, holding doors open and all that stuff. But generally, I view women as being a sacred, being really. So, I don't really think they should be combat troops. But, you know, being officers, I have no problem with that. But you could bank that I am an enlightened thinker in military circles. I mean, there are people out there who say Sean is a right-wing psycho-fascist. The guy's practically Rush Limbaugh. Well, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. I make a few jokes because I think there's a lot of things really funny about, you know, feminism and stuff like that, you know. I use the term feminazi. It's true. I think that people, you know, who generally get all mad at me just because I happen to be born with a dangly bit, I think that's also funny. I make fun of Lilith Fair. Because I think it's marketing. I think anybody who brings about, you know, women being women together and strong, buy my t-shirt and wear patchouli, you know, whatever. If you get off on it and it helps you out, sure. I can't join the club because I was born with the wrong parts. But, you know, hey, there's certain advantages to outdoor plumbing. We can pee anywhere. It's true. But back to this whole military thing, I think that the Abu Ghraib thing, now, this is war as well, too. Now, this is wrong on so many different levels. As well, it's war, okay? Now, people say, well, Sean, two wrongs don't make you right, you know. Well, yeah, but these people were all training, apparently. If they're guilty, these people at Abu Ghraib were all, you know, training every day to put on backpacks and go blow us up. So, you know, sometimes this kind of stuff happens in war. It's horrible, but there it is. This is why we, again, avoid war. War is bad. War equals bad. There's no rules in war. I don't care how many documents you sign. I don't care how big the Geneva Convention is, how many addendums you make. War sucks. And the more you try to make war not suck, the more likely war is to occur. You see what I'm saying here? Now, personally speaking, there are certain things that happen in day-to-day life that would make me kind of scream gun store and run for my nearest purveyor of good cheesy steel comestibles. Okay? Exploding toads are one of those things. Hundreds of toads have met a bizarre and sinister end in Germany in recent days as it was reported that they're exploding. According to reports from animal welfare workers and veterinarians, as many as 1,000 of the amphibians have perished after their bodies swelled to bursting. It swelled up to the bursting point, and their entrails were propelled for up to 3 feet outside the body. So they go, bam, and the guts go everywhere. It's like a science fiction. According to Werner Slomnick of Natural Protection Society, northern city of Hamburg, where the phenomenon of the exploding toad has been observed. You see, the animals are crawling on the ground, swelling, and then exploding, is what he said. He said the bodies of the toad expand to 3.5 times their normal size. Well, maybe it's like they're trying to do the ribbit thing, you know, where their neck swells out and they sneeze and something goes. You ever done that? You sneeze and you hiccup and you fart all at the same time. You feel like you're going to explode. Maybe that's what's happening to these toads, but like 1,000 of them? I have never seen such a thing, said veterinarian Otto Hurst. So bad has been the death toll that the lake in the Altona area district of Hamburg has been dubbed the pond of death. Well, you know, personally, I'd be getting some water samples and checking to see what's wrong with the water, or see, you know, if there's anybody feeding these toads Alka-Seltzer or something like that, because there's something very definitely wrong there. Now, when a frog gets out of the way, imagine you're sitting there, you know, by the creek, have a little picnic with your loved one there, and out hops the frog. Ribbit. Ah! Boom! Suicide bomber toads? Whoa! Okay, then. When the toads are pulling off the suicide bomber thing, That's when you really have to look at your environmental policy. You know, last thing I want is some little toad going, Allahu Akbar, ribbit, wham. No, not good. Not good. And right now they're only blowing up 3 feet. Wait until those toads fill up that explosive gap. You'll have toads hopping on school buses. You'll have toads walking into pizzerias. You know, no one will notice it. Well, they might notice this little toad. But, you know, seriously, though, suicide toads could be a problem. Have to watch that, especially if they turn into giant toads. If we get the giant toads going on, giant suicidal toads, we can hit them with the tongue, let the toad go, rock it onto his face, and then the toad explodes. What if we could exploit this? We should get some of these exploding toads. Now, remember that guy, Woody Norris? I was talking about him a few days ago. He was the guy who had who invented the hip with the car alarm and all that kind of jazz. Guy's kind of a psycho. He's invented a lot of stuff. He's like psycho inventor guy. I guess this guy sits around, eats acid, and, you know, messes around with the soldering iron, cooks stuff up. Well, he cooks up some good stuff, and technology is good, but some of the stuff he cooks up makes me go, Woody, what are you doing? Woody pointed a metal frequency emitter at one of about 30 people who had come to see his invention, the emitter. An aluminum square was hooked up by wire to a CD player. Norris switched on the CD player. There's no speaker, but when I point this pad at you, you will hear a water pole, said the 63-year-old Californian. You know, these 63-year-old inventors who do shit like that just freak me out. He's like total mad scientist material here. And one by one, each person in the audience did and smiled widely. Norris's hypersonic sound system is one of the coveted award by inventors, $500,000, which he doesn't care about. And the annual Lemason MIT Prize. It works by sending a focused beam of sound above the range of human hearing. When it lands on you, it seems like the sound is coming from inside your own head. Great. Norris said the use of the technology could come in handy in cars, in the airport, or at home. Now, I wonder if I'm listening to headphones, right? So if I've got headphones on as part of my reality filter, and you point one of these, you know, broadcast hypersound panels at me, will that override my headphones? You know, it's a question. Imagine your wife wants to watch television. You want to read a book. Like the intellectual you are, he said to the crowd. Imagine you're a lifeguard or a coach who want to yell at someone, and he'll be the only one to hear you. Imagine you're a core political one doing individual advertising as people walk by products in front of a stand. Oh, my God. Okay, that's where he's going to make the money. It's going to be through advertising. Yet another way to now beam advertising messages inside your head. Sick and weird. Bad, all bad, nobody likes that. That's not a good idea. Let's not carry on with this particular method of hypersound. But, you know, as long as we can get past that, if you were to make something that goes against hypersound, I'd be into that too. So, Woody, would you get right on that? Thanks. That'd be great. Yeah. Cryosleep has been invented. Hot. Very hot. Space travel. Oh, cryosleep, yeah. Very power flex. Full flex. Full flex. Scientists at Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center have, for the first time, induced a state of reversible metallic hibernation in mice. This is hot. This achievement first demonstrated hibernation on demand in a mammal. Now, you realize what this means? This means that you can freeze people and wake them up later. This is huge. Ultimately, could lead to new ways to treat cancer, prevent injury from death from insufficient blood supply to organs and tissues. It also means cryosleep. We are, in essence, temporarily converting mice from warm-blooded to cold-blooded creatures, which is exactly the same thing that happens naturally when mammals hibernate, which said lead investigator Mark Roth, MD, whose findings will be published in the April 22nd issue of Science. So if you want to pick up Science, check that out. We think this may be the latent ability that all mammals have, potentially even humans. We're just harnessing and turning it on and off, inducing a state of hibernation on demand, said Roth, a member of Fred Hutchinson's Basic Science Division. During the hibernation-like state, cellular activity slows to a near standstill, which dramatically reduces an organism's need for oxygen. If such temporary metabolic activity and subsequent freedom from oxygen dependence could be replicated in humans, it could buy time to help critically ill patients on organ transplant lists and operating rooms, ERs, and battlefields, Roth said. Manipulating this metabolic mechanism for clinical benefit potentially could revolutionize the treatment for a host of human ills related to eczema or damaged liver living tissue from lack of oxygen, said Roth. Well, screw all that. All I care about is the space travel. Okay, cryo is hot. If we can figure out a way to get cryo happening in day-to-day life, dude, that is the way to go. We got to get off this rock. That's something that no one's talking about, is the benefits of space travel. And I think with all this UFO stuff that's floating around lately, maybe that's not by accident. Maybe there's something going on with space travel. Personally, I believe we, as humans, are alien experiments. I think we're an experiment gone horribly wrong. And I think they're a little bit afraid of us. But that's just me. So, but, I mean, this whole step with cryosleep and human hibernation, oh, hot. Immortality could be nice. Lock me up until we get the robot transference and then transfer me over. I could broadcast from my head. Now, what I'd like to know is who the hell is the BNP, the British National Party, in England, in Gattaca State? Now, we already know that England's kind of turning a little fascist here. We already know that. But the British National Party, could someone in England please, you know, clue me in who these shit pumps are? The British National Party has launched its general elections manifesto with a call to abolish multiculturalism. Now, I'm hoping these guys are your standard white supremacist nut jobs who never get any support. Leader Nick Griffin also called for the EU withdrawal and a restoration of capital punishment to and an end to immigration. Well, again, he's just rolling the calendar right back here. He said British troops should be pulled out of Iraq and used to patrol Dover and to channel tunnel to keep out illegal immigrants and asylum seekers. And he pledged to introduce firm but voluntary incentives for immigrants and their descendants to return home. Their descendants. So if you're born here and you happen to be from another country, we don't want you in England. Oh, I guess he's a screwdriver fan. He said the main issue at the election was for the British to regain control of its own country. Well, if you're not in control of your country, dude, who is in control? Nice try for the FUD. Now, we got some new NVG technology from the Holland. Dutch researchers have developed revolutionary vision equipment that makes video imaging at nighttime as clear as colorful in broad daylight. Cool. British Weekly News scientists said. Now, this would be fourth-gen stuff. This system, designed for Dutch military, uses a computer to impose color on an image, replacing fuzzy gray or green monochrome images with conventional night vision goggles. It reports in next Saturday's issue. Night vision cameras either amplify available light or use infrared sensors to map the heat radiation that emanates from an object. Now, the way they're talking about doing this is they're talking about color matching stuff from daylight. So they use basically, it's like a combination of night vision and friend or foe. And the two objects, when put together, enable people to see what's going on in real time in color. And that will be amazing to overcome visual camouflage and stuff like that for military troops. So that's hot because it's on the horizon. Fourth gen military night vision gear. Hot. Got a couple things for you for today's hack as well. Hack of the day, how to start a fire with two rocks. Very hot. There's also on the same side, there's a thing on how to make a fire out of a Coke can and a chocolate bar, which I thought doesn't necessarily have to be a Coke can. Could be any kind of generic aluminum pop can, but it's kind of a rip-off. You polish the bottom of the can to make a mirror using the chocolate, and then you start a fire that way. But yeah, how to start a fire with two rocks is kind of interesting because I've never done that, and I'd like to try to make that happen. Good to know how to start a fire. You should always have a lighter with you anyway, or at least some sort of fire source. I like butane, windproof stuff. But that's just me. The article has been written with the intent of allowing the reader to have the best information to successfully develop the art of starting a fire in the wilderness, a skill that can be learned once the individual understands what is needed to accomplish the task. Very, very cool. As well, for those who are not really so, wildernessly challenged, they also have some USB programs as well that was provided to me. So there's things for the little USB drives, you know, the little jump ones that you can throw in there. There's ones for watches and stuff like that that I've seen you can get off ThinkGeek. Well, here's a way you can run programs off of those as well, which is really the next real step. And that might probably be a better application for risk-worn information databases. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just kind of cool when you can take risk-worn USB drives and hook other programs onto them, or the little tiny ones that have like a gig of information or whatever. It's really cool to have all your data with you. It's a lot safer. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, Dave, the Great Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Melican, Michael, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host, Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Michael, Jonathan, Daniel, Art Darmu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. Thank you so much. My God, all these people support me. I can't believe how lucky I am to have people like you out there who give a crap for freedom. That's awesome. New subscribers as well, Druid Wise Samaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Joseph, Jesse, Andrew, and user Ant Christopher, thank you so much for coming to our aid. And if you would like to aid in the assistance of this broadcast, if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Special thanks to the Hard Netrunners, the Flying Monkey, Recky Platoon, who gets me this info, Ricky Rocket, No Delete, Sabo, Dead Code, Burger No Fry, Sim, Valakai, Mandrake, Malloy, Fat Ninja, Bonsai Poppy, and Mythos. Thank you so much. Digital Baptisms Day, Prism's Fern is now known as Transporter Failure 37 Bravo. Upcoming events, don't forget about Phoenix Fest and Linux Fest at the end of this month. And I think the Phoenix Fest is in June. But check it out. It's off my Live Journal site. And thanks again to everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Proteus by Saints of Eben. And I'm also going to leave you with a little bit longer track, a trance track I really enjoy because of some sampling that makes it very special to me, Magic Dragon by Psydrop. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line. We'll be right back.